Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. I'm reading today from a book entitled The Christian in Complete Armor. It's by William Gurnall, the English Bible scholar and pastor who died in 1679. We're talking about the Christian's spiritual shoe, the preparation of the gospel of peace. And this section is entitled Peace with Creation. Peace with Creation. During his early days of sinlessness, Adam was made happy by seeing the beasts of the field coming to receive their names from him. They acknowledged him as Lord as he exercised God-given authority over them. But no sooner did man fail in his obedience to God than every animal forgot about submission and continuously caused problems for its master. When God and man meet again in a happy covenant of peace, God reverses his wrath against his rebellious children, and the war ends between them. In that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven, Hosea 2:18. And that day is the one in which God betroths us to himself in faithfulness. And so then, peace with creation comes through peace with God. But I must remind you that in God's sovereignty, our peace with his creatures is not enjoyed perfectly by the godly. Indeed, the Father is at liberty to chasten his reconciled ones severely, and his creatures often become the rod which he uses. Water, for instance, may drown a saint. Fire may consume another to ashes. Yet these elements themselves are at peace with believers. God does not send them purposely to hurt his children. He commissions them to act against sinning saints for their good. God uses the elements of creation against the unsaved as a prince dispatches a general against an armed company of traitors with authority to take vengeance on them for rebelling against their maker. But because of the New Testament in the Lord Christ's blood, this commission changes course and runs in another direction. Go, fire, be the chariot in which a saint is brought home from earth to me in heaven's glory. Go, water, convey to me another believer. It's true that the elements of creation can bring sharp correction at times, but they are ever full of mercies too, and serve the Christian from the good intentions of God's heart. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. And we now have another division in the story, the Christian's spiritual shoe. It's called three, the preparation of the gospel of peace. And first section under that heading, what is meant by this preparation of the gospel of peace? We can best understand what this preparation is by considering the part that it is designed for, the foot, the only member of the body to be shod, clothed. And being the soldier's shoe, this piece of armor is intended more for defense than for appearance. This part of the armor is so necessary that a soldier is disabled for service without its protection during a long march over sharp stones. How long can he walk on a path like this without being hurt? Or even if the way happens to be smooth, his unshod feet are vulnerable to wet, cold weather and thus possible disease of the entire body. The result is that his lack of preparation will keep him in bed when he should be in the field. In our day, almost as many troops die by fevers as by enemy fire. Now, what the foot is to the body, the will is to the soul. As the foot carries the whole body, the will supports the whole man, body and soul alike. We go wherever our will takes us. And what the shoe is to the foot, that preparation, the Christian's spiritual readiness, is to the will. The man whose feet are well shod is not afraid to go through thick or thin, foul or fair. stones or straws. All are alike to him. But the barefooted man, or the one with fragile shoes, shrinks when his feet touch the mud, and shrieks when he stumbles on a sharp stone. Thus, when the will and heart of a person are ready for any work, he is shod and armed against any trouble he must go through to complete it. Some say the Irish move with such agility that they run over quicksand where others sink and die. Prepared hearts can do the same thing. Others are unable to walk where these saints run. They do not become bogged down, but sing through their afflictions. David, for example, was never more satisfied than when he hid in the cave. He said, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." If David's heart had not been ready for a crisis, if it had not had this preparation, he would have been trapped by fear instead of given to singing while his enemies hunted for his life. The next section, why is it called the preparation of the gospel of peace? It is called this because the gospel is God's great instrument by which he works into the will of man a preparation for suffering. It is the business we are in, if we preach the gospel, to make a willing people, a people prepared for the Lord. As a captain beats his drum in the city to call up a company of volunteers to be armed, to take the field at an hour's warning, and to follow their prince, the gospel calls men to stand ready for God's service, whatever the cost. The gospel of peace, then, brings the good news of peace between God and man, sealed by the blood of Christ. It is a rich gift to repenting sinners who have spent their days in a fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation from the Lord to devour them. As soon as they hear peace by the preaching of the gospel, and it is confirmed in their conscience by the Spirit, a new life appears in them. And these men who were once so fearfully shy of every minor threat are now shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and smilingly say, as Jesus did to those with swords and spears, "Whom seek ye?" Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this gospel peace works so mightily that it makes Christians glory in tribulations. And we find that these words of Scripture open at least two points of doctrine. First, it is the saints' duty to be prepared to meet any trial. And second, gospel peace readies the Christian to face any trouble which might come. Next section, preparation for trials. It is our duty, as believers, to be prepared to endure any hardship and trial which God lays out for us in our Christian walk. And saints will never be without these trials. As Christ said of the poor, they will always be with us. Augustine said the bloody sweat which Christ felt signified the sufferings which he would endure in his mystical body. Just as Christ's whole body was lifted up on the cross, no member of his can expect to escape the cross now. When it comes to each of us, it will not speak glory for the Savior if we merely yield passively to God's will. We must be ready with an active and holy patience to obey, to be led down into the very chambers of death itself, if that is God's choice. I heard about an epitaph which should never be engraved on a Christian's gravestone. "Here lies one against his will." Paul had the holy mind of Christ when he confessed, "I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Skeptics might think the apostle's boldness flourished only when the enemy was far away, but faded into fear when he had to look death in the face. No, Paul stood on his earlier profession even then, 2 Timothy 4:6, right before he died. "I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." If you listen closely, you'll hear Paul speaking as if his death had already happened, and he was dead before the stroke was given, not from fear, but from complete resignation to it. A criminal is dead in the sense of the law as soon as the judge speaks the sentence, although the condemned man may survive weeks afterwards. In a gospel sense, then, we say those are dead who have willingly put themselves under the authority of their Father and are ready for death. Paul's serenity of spirit was even more remarkable if we consider how close he stood to his death. Perhaps he knew he would be beheaded, for he alluded to the pouring out of blood or wine used in sacrifice, and the sacrifice which he willingly offered up in the service of Christ and his church was like the believers pouring out their drink offering to God. But now let me give some reasons why we all must be ready for this work of suffering. And that's the next section, and we'll start there next time. Why Christians must be ready for trials. Join me then. Thank you for listening. For more audios that I believe will bless you, please go to the top of this webpage that you're at. If you're at sermonaudio.com/a-servant-70, just click on the word series at the top there and choose from the list of over 200 topics that represent 3,500 plus audios. Daily readings are retrievable as a podcast, and you can download the app. Well, this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.